Sylvia Mezzestrano. Tarant Tatumia. Another wife to Leon, devoted mother to Bruce, Scott, and Marcy, brother and sister to Rochelle. Sylvia loved her family. The Capilolos, the Surianos, the Mezzestranos. She loved her entire family. Sylvia was a middle child born to Sam and Mary Capilolo on October 7th, 1932. She had her older brother Joe and her younger sister Rochelle. Sam and Mary had immigrated from the island of Rhodes and settled in the central district of Seattle. Both her parents and her extended family were very active in the Hedrata Sarot, and especially in the Ladies Auxiliary. Extended family gatherings around Rosh Hashanah and Pesach and all the Jewish holidays, always with the Suriano and Capilano families, were legendary. All the aunts, all the cousins, all the uncles, you can just imagine the picture. Sylvia was very close with her siblings, Joe and Rochelle, and this friendship stayed with them their entire lives. In her teenage years, Sylvia suffered from asthma for several years, but she never complained about it, and it strengthened her personality even more, as well as her closeness with her family. She was very popular and outgoing in high school, but she graduated from Garfield, and there she studied, went on to study business administration at Washington University. It was a wedding that Sylvia went to when she first met Leon. Leon and a few of his friends loved crashing weddings. Not to eat the food, you might think, but rather because they loved dancing. And there, Leon was a wonderful dancer. He caught Sylvia's eye, and they began their courtship. On one of their dates, Sylvia took Leon bowling, and she made Leon a challenge. Whoever wins the game, or I should say whoever loses the game, they get to buy dinner. And Leon happily took on the wager because he was quite good at bowling. But unbeknownst to him, Sylvia was an excellent bowler, having spent many years learning her craft at high school. And she duly won, and she told Leon, "Now that you've won, you're not just taking me out for dinner, you're taking me to the best, most expensive restaurant in town." Sylvia and Leon were married on March 10, 1956, and were married for over 60 years. Sylvia came from a very close family, and she embraced and loved not only Leon, but the entire Mezzestrano family. She loved his parents, and she had a special place in the hearts of Ben and Sylvia. The extended Capilolo and Mezzestrano families, just like the Suriano and Capilolo families, this time they would get together to spend all the Jewish holidays together. Sylvia was an incredible mother and wife. She was a tremendous advocate for all of her kids, and she always believed in them, sometimes even more than they believed in themselves. She pushed you to achieve and to do more than you ever imagined possible. Leon worked many, many long hours while Sylvia took the lion's share of raising the children and taking care of their home. She never complained about this. She loved this role, creating the strong relationships with each of her children and their spouses. Sylvia took her children and spouses into her heart. She had a special relationship with each and every one of them. They had their own language and their own agreement with her. Sylvia was incredibly proud of her grandchildren. She loved basking in their sporting accomplishments in particular. One thing we all know about Sylvia, she was always well-dressed, well-groomed, well-presented. She took great pride in her appearance, and she would spend many long afternoons with Rochelle shopping at Nordstrom's together. They love Nordstrom, and Nordstrom loved them. Sylvia's attention to detail was shown in another light by her skills as a tremendous cook and entertaining all of her friends and family. should plan the menu and the seating arrangements weeks in advance. This level of organization and care was so important to her, as it was her way of showing just how much each family member and friend meant to her. She still, when she stopped hosting so much, she still called her kids just to ask them, "So, what are you making?" 2 or 3 weeks in advance, who knows what they're making? Sylvia always did. I'd like to take a moment to talk about the last few years of Sylvia's life. Years that were very difficult as she battled and battled to stay with us, to be with her family that she so loved. She showed such bravery, such determination, such love. Leon, your respect and the honor that you showed your wife, your devotion to her during her illness, that tenderness that you've shown, the tears you're showing today, speaks volumes for the love that you've had for so many years. The tears that you cried for her are each counted and are a testament to the mutual respect and admiration that you have for one another. You know, this one is so strong, I better come out now. Rochelle, these last years, you've accompanied Sylvia on all her doctor's visits. You've been the rock. You've allowed Sylvia to handle with such grace her illness. You've been such a support for the whole family. You've done so much that they owe you so much, and they really, really appreciate the love that you've shown your entire lives together. And finally, I turn to Bruce, Scott, and Marcy. Your love, the love of children, that's what kept your mom going. I remember I was just new in Seattle, and Bruce called me to say, "Can I come and visit?" Because they'd been told that Sylvia wasn't going to last a week. And now, 4.5 years later, how? It can only be due to the human spirit of perseverance that Sylvia showed, and the love that you gave to her that made her fight on and battle to the end. She leaves behind a family united in their love and their admiration of a special woman. She leaves behind a broken-hearted family, and as I said yesterday to you, the tears that you cry, they all go up to Shamayim, they all go up to heaven, because your tears are not a weakness, they are tears of love and admiration for a wonderful woman. Shetehei nishmatah teruah b'tochim b'gan eden, amen, ken yod. Thanks to all of you.
Talk talking on the phone many times a day, including late at night at Capilouto Hallmark, and arranging joint family vacations. Because they married, respectively, my dad and his cousin, Bob Mezzostrano, my mom and her sister even shared a last name during their adult years. And Bruce, Marcy, and I are first cousins to Elaine, Marilyn, and Jay, who are mothers, and second cousins to them, who are fathers. And our close family extends well beyond that. We fondly remember mom preparing Jewish holiday dinners for grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, often upwards of 40 people. Bruce and Lori, and Marcy and Tom, preserve her tradition so that it continues to be enjoyed by her grandchildren. And Jeff and I hold up our end on the East Coast. In my farewell conversation with mom, I told her that I remember so many things that she did. Uba, the mother, would drive her son from Mercer Island to the Sephardic Bigger Holland parking lot to send him off to summer camp, realizing he forgot his coat, and drive back to Mercer Island to get it, and then again to Seattle to bring it to him. She surprised me with my favorite flavors, strawberry, marzipan, and my garment's cake. One time when she and Dad visited me when I was in San Francisco, and I was hosting Shabbat dinner for them and some friends, Mom brought, all the way from Seattle, the best parts of the dinner, two of my favorite things, pumpkin stuffed filo dough appetizers, and again, a raspberry and marzipan pastry. I got that taste for marzipan from her mother, our grandma Mary, who lived with us for many years and would have marzipan and baklava in her purse for me after every bar mitzvah wedding that she had made. And when I came out to my parents in 1984, my mom knew then that gay people are born this way. She accepted me, loved me, and welcomed Jeff into her heart as soon as she met him 8 years later. So Mom, we thank you for so much, and you will always be in our thoughts. Before I turn it over to Marcy, I want to thank my siblings, Bruce and Lori, Marcy and Tom, and our Aunt Rochelle, and my mom's caregiver, Teresa, who were there for my mom every day and at all hours, and were and still are a tremendous support for my dad. Thank you all.
People always say to me, oh, your mom's so frail. Or comment how weak she must be. But for all of us that knew her, we know that size is not an indicator or measure of her strength, capacity, or tenacity. The accomplish what she set out for herself or what she wanted for others. I have many stories, but one that stood out to me in the type of people I didn't know in college was that without my mom, I would never graduate from college. My mom had always told me when I was growing up that she wanted me to have the opportunities that women of her generation didn't really have. She wanted me to be independent and told me that I could have a fulfilling family life as well as a fulfilling career life, and not to accept less than I wanted. But you can imagine, when I told her I was taking a break from school at the University of Washington to start selling these things called computers, she wasn't very happy. And sometime in that 6 months where I was taking that break, without my knowledge, she stealthily looked into options to find a college that would better fit for me so I could go back and finish. I think she actually filled out the paperwork and applied for me. And then one afternoon just told me, oh, by the way, you can accept Indiana University with this program you started this fall. Supportive of my 5-plus year undergrad experience, I did finally graduate. As I already mentioned, my mom was also very particular about how she entertained, not as an illness. So you can imagine planning a wedding, packing everything close to friends and family, without a time to step aside and let others tell her what to do, not even the bride. So one afternoon, my mom and I went out to take the cake. She said, I spent the entire day going to bakery to bakery, taking all the different cakes to pick the cake, and then we'll end the day by going to the hotel to look at all different ways the napkins can be folded to the place that. And we'll pick one. So we had a great day of test tasting, taking notes, and I was surely amazed by all you could do with a napkin. And when it came time to make a decision, she asked me, so which cake do you like? And I told her which one I liked, she listened, and she said, turned to me and said something like, well, I think the other one's better, and I went to the bakery, that's the one. So. I lovingly and thankfully referred to her as our third love buddy. She kept going and going when others, including doctors, told her she would not. She didn't want to miss a thing, so she would fight out of her situation to make sure she would make it to the family vacation or milestone. I do think her grandchildren were critical in this fight. She was so supportive of them always, and in the last days, it was then who'd get the biggest reaction to have her tall pastor to join us with us. She was blessed to have all of her grandchildren around her the night before she passed. The night before she passed, Mari and Thomas visited her, and Mari reminded her of a plastic princess fashion ring she had given my mom probably 10 years ago. My mom would always wear that ring to change her house for family dinner for every holiday event to make Mari feel so special. My mom, of course, Mari mentioned it, and my mom, of course, remembered it, and left with the energy to lift her hand and ask Mari to put it on her finger again. All in all, I've learned a lot from my mom. Family comes first, strive to achieve more than even you believe you can achieve, and that one's will is stronger and more powerful than one's physical might. Oh, the salad is always better with stuff on the side. And to Michelle. And Michelle has been our rock star and our savior through so much of these past few years. She comforted, supported, and guided us more than I can remember, and even more than anyone can ever imagine. At each part of my mom's journey, she was there. Being with our doctors to both themselves to control what we were carrying, spending countless hours, even overnight with my mom, etc. And she was always there. In the last many months, she would even insist on taking my mom to the hair salon. I know she wanted to keep my mom's life and her dignity as close to how it was before in her healthier years. Maybe even give us all the thought that all was going to be okay, because her mom who looked so beautiful, even though inside her body was not the same healthy woman that she was before. And maybe one of these countless acts of kindness and compassion, we would turn my shell and thank her. And she would always respond with, "Of course. Sylvia's my sister. And as a sister, we're for each other." That then means we talk to my relationship with my mom and my leadership. And the relationship has been has a profound effect on my life, my childhood years, all the way through my adult life. In fact, it's their relationship, as well as the sister relationship with myself, my cousins Elaine and Mary Lynn, Michelle Needy, Leslie Mandy, and my aunts Vivian and Aunt Nancy, that convinced me to pursue a 5-year campaign to persuade that even Tom, but my mom, too, that we needed a third child. Now, there's no guarantee that I would have a girl, and of course, I would have been less thrilled if it was a boy. But a large portion of why I wanted a third child was my daughter, Sarah. I wanted her to have the blessing of having a sister. That unwavering interwoman bond I witnessed with my mom and her show would be the most important gift we could ever give her. Turns out Mari Yeri's is a gift more than just Sarah, but thank you, her show, thank you for the third child. And thank you all the best Bruce, Scott, my dad, and mom. And also thanks to Elaine and Ray Lynn for letting us have so much of your mom's time. Tom, thank you. Tom, you had a great relationship with my mom. You knew what to say to her, how to say it, because we all did, in a more direct way, always. But because of that, you had a special relationship with her, and you always saved the best time for her. Did amazing things for us, so thank you so much. Dad, having looked over and cared for mom enduring these hardships has been amazingly inspiring. But also so hard for us to watch. You also mean such pain. We want you to find peace and comfort in my mom's captive and not suffering anymore. She's now with her parents and all of our aunts and uncles. Entire generations have succeeded her in passing. She is, of course, dressed in the most beautiful outfits anyone has ever seen. Heart length head to toe, smiling and watching over us forever. We love you, Dad, and we'll always keep wonderful and loving memories in our hearts forever. So, Mom, thank you. I love you. And I'm comforted. I will be watching the signs of your love and guidance in the world for them to follow.
First,
weeks and she was going to take a day off. Mom always wanted to know when you were leaving and when you're going to come back. So the clock unaddressed her, she knew what to expect. She loved you, she trusted you. We love you, we trust you. And we thank you so much for loving us. If you heard Mom's relationship with Anna Stella's legendary, they talk on the phone all the time. And if there was a kid that would talk for a couple hours, they didn't really call each other again. I only mention this because I woke up last night remembering something that Mom said she wanted included in this unit. She said, be sure, talk about the very close and special relationship that she had with Martin. And I'm pretty sure she loved us all the same, Scott. But she called Marcy much more often than she called either of us or both of us. Sometimes she would call Marcy 15 times a day. That whole 15 times would be one hour. Marcy would tell me she'd be in a meeting and she'd hear her phone ringing, over and over again. She knew it was but the time they spent together and the time they spent on the phone was very comfortable. As you've heard, Mom was tough. She was resilient. She loved her family, and family was always number one. In the last couple years, as roles started to reverse, and we had to take more care of my mom, she could not get out of bed. She could take care of herself with this shape. She was always trying to look out for us. She would always ask about how we were doing, how we were, how the grandchildren were doing, are they happy? Yes, Mom, they were. That's a survey extended, of course, to us too, as I said. And the last few weeks, she was always worried that we were spending too much time away from our own family. She was always telling me, go home, spend time with your family. I'm okay. In her final days, she was feeling this even more, and she confided in herself. It's getting time for me to die. I don't want to be such a burden to my children. They are busy, and they need to be with their own family. Over the past couple weeks, Mom and I have spent a lot of time talking, but it's very, very simple. Somehow she said it was up to me that we take care of each other, we look after each other, and I would be sure to make everyone safe and happy. I assured her that Mom, I would take that on, and I said, Marcy, Scott, and I will always be there for each other. You don't have to worry. Take care of our children. We'll take special care of them. Time has been hard for obviously for Marcy, Scott, and myself. It's also been very hard for us. They have a deep, strong love for each other. They cover each other. In recent weeks, when Mom was confined to bed, and she didn't see my dad for a little while, she asked, where is he? He might be in the other room, but she was concerned where he was he out, was he in the doctor, was he okay? And I know there are times that we say, yeah, he's fine, and she really isn't. She was very worried about how his health and how he was doing. During the final moments, we were talking to her, we were all trying to talk, and she really wasn't able to respond, but we knew she was hearing. As we're all talking, trying to get a response, Dad came in. He was there, and he spoke through his tears. Got a little loud. I love you, Sylvia. Give me a kiss. And it was no question, we got through to her at that moment, because she actually tried to kiss me back, and she wasn't strong enough, and she gave me up, and we loved her. Minutes later, she was gone. Mom was always and will still always be an important part of our lives. Because of Scott, Marcy, and myself, I know we'll miss her every day for the rest of our lives. Every day. And I hope every day we do something that will make her happy. Thank you very much. And I just want to take a moment to thank Rabbi for spending so much time with us yesterday.